This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne in Los Angeles.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington. All the Democrats competing in tonight's Iowa presidential caucuses say they want to expand the number of Americans with health insurance. So does President Bush. This may be the most attention that politicians have paid to health care since 1994, when President Clinton's health care plan failed. And as NPR's Julie Rovner reports, this year's candidates are trying to avoid the pitfalls of a decade ago.
The problems plaguing the nation's health care system haven't changed much since President Clinton's unsuccessful overhaul effort. Costs are still spiraling, and more than 15% of the population lacks health insurance. But for the first time since 1992, major health reform is expected to be a key issue in the presidential campaign, says Drew Altman of the Kaiser Family Foundation.
Leaders are no longer treating this as the issue from hell as they were in the mid-90s, too tough even to talk about in a big way. And I think that is a change.
That change has been much on display, particularly in New Hampshire and Iowa, as the Democratic candidates have pressed their cases. Here's Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, and Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt in the debate sponsored by the Des Moines Register earlier this month.
My program of health insurance would make it affordable and accessible to more than 30 million of those who don't have it today.
I am the only presidential candidate who has offered a plan that actually reduces health care costs.
If you want health care that can never be taken away from you, vote for me.
One of the candidates, Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, has proposed a full-scale overhaul, calling for a fully government-run single-payer system. But most of the others are advocating less drastic changes, largely expanding existing public programs and building on the employer coverage most Americans already have. Emory University economist Ken Thorpe is a veteran of the Clinton healthcare team who's analyzed all of the current candidates' plans. He says that a key lesson most have learned from the last fight is not to try to force change on those who are currently satisfied with their care.
You don't want to make people who are currently have insurance, there are 170 million of them, anxious about going someplace else for their health care coverage. So these plans basically don't force anybody out of their existing health care arrangements.
Republican pollster Bill McInturf says another key lesson is that the public wants the private sector, not the government, to organize their care.
So when you look at how much the 92, 93, 94 debate ended up crystallizing about the role of the federal government, what you see in these current Democrat plans is trying not to hit that tripwire. These are not the same kind of rhetoric that ended up being a caricature in 93-94, which was a huge government bureaucracy trying to engage in health care.
The plans do differ in their emphasis. Gephardt's would provide billions of dollars in subsidies to employers, not only for health insurance, but also to provide economic stimulus. Getting more children covered is a focus of the plans offered by Lieberman and North Carolina Senator John Edwards. But Drew Altman of the Kaiser Foundation says that what's actually in each plan is secondary. The real point of the proposals is a political one.
Which is just to make a strong statement, I care about health, and no other candidate cares about health more than I do.
The candidate's various plans, Altman says, also serve a secondary purpose.
To signal a general philosophy and ideology. I'm more for government, or I'm more for the private sector. I'm for a big plan. I'm more moderate. I'm for a smaller plan. I would spend more. I would spend less. And so the signaling is more important than the details of the proposals.
Another lesson most of the candidates appear to have learned is that the public is put off by a huge price tag for health reform. So most of the proposals move money around within the health system more than they add to total spending. But that doesn't mean they won't be controversial. Stuart Altman, no relation to Drew Altman, is a health policy professor at Brandeis University who helped craft President Clinton's plan. He says he worries about the politics of creating health care winners and losers.
When we start redistributing incidence of who pays and who gets, it means that somebody's getting less. And many of these proposals, a majority get less so that a minority will get more. And that is not tantamount to getting bipartisan or substantial support for your proposal.
Drew Altman says there's another lesson candidates apparently didn't learn from the last go-round.
And that is the danger of articulating a detailed plan at all, then others can then shoot at and pick apart. So it's striking to me that no candidate is just saying, look, I really care about these issues, and these are my goals, and this is my general direction, but now I have to work with the Congress on the details.
Two of the plans, Gephardt's and former Vermont Governor Howard Dean's, rely for their financing on rolling back all of the tax cuts already passed by Congress. If either candidate prevails, says GOP pollster McInturf, Republicans won't even have to attack the health plans on their merits.
As a Republican, it is a heck of a lot easier to explain to somebody, no, this person is going to roll back every single tax cut.
And that could transform a reliable Democratic issue, health care, into a tax fight that's more comfortable for Republicans. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
You can find reports on other hot-button election issues by going to our website at npr.org.